Well, a blessed Lent to all of you. It's a good time for us to be preparing our hearts, minds, and souls in preparation for our Lord's coming in the Eucharist and at his resurrection at Easter time. I really look forward to our mission starting next weekend and to the different parts that I'll be able to attend. It will be very exciting to have that happening here in our parish for the diocese. Maybe you remember, well, some of you probably still have it happen occasionally, when in school, a teacher would say, by Friday, I would like to have a 3-page paper, double-spaced with footnotes, comparing and contrasting whatever it was. And you know, right then and there, you were done. Your life as you knew it for that week was over. You had to write the paper. Today, we get to compare and contrast Adam and Eve in the garden and Jesus in the desert. Thankfully, Paul has done some of the work for us in the second reading, saying much more beautifully than what I could, but I've conscripted some of it from him. So what Paul said is, briefly and abridged, if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? Let's go deeper now into just how Jesus and Adam compare. Hopefully nobody will ever compare me to Jesus or Adam. That would be very scary for me. First, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert alone. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden together, and God was with them. Let's continue a little. Jesus was led to be tempted by the devil with no help. Adam was placed in the garden to care for the garden and protect it. He was there to protect Eve and was present when the tempter came and approached Eve. The man was not protecting his wife. Second, Jesus was hungry after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Adam and Eve could eat anything in the garden, all at their fingertips, all but one tree. They were not hungry and did not need the fruit of the tree. But the devil tempted both of them with food. Yes, Jesus was hungry, and he was told to make bread from the rocks. Adam and Eve were tempted with food, not because they were hungry, but because it was pleasing to the eye. They wanted it. It's so pretty. It's so yummy looking. It's so beautiful. The next temptation, both of the temptations had agendas. For Jesus, it was a temptation of revelation. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. The devil knew Jesus was God, yet he's attacking his divine personhood. If you were God, if you were brave, if you were strong, if you are able to, I dare you to do it. Show you are the Son of God. Kind of like the schoolyard bully. For Adam and Eve, their temptation has the added bonus of the gift to become like God, to know good and evil, and to be able to say, to declare what is right and wrong for themselves, to make their own rules and no consequences. You can almost hear them talking this through. So yeah, logically, eat the fruit, and then we can change the rules of good and bad and say it's okay, and that'll just fix everything. They desire the ability. They want to change what God declares as good and evil and determine for themselves what is good and what is evil, to become God. Another temptation, the presumption of protection of God. Just jump off the temple and God will save you. Underlying this is, will he or won't he? Of course, there will be lots of witnesses. This is the temple after all. So all will see. And again, Jesus is asked for a revelation as God in front of the people. Jesus is relying on the word of God to help him. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Adam and Eve are still stuck way back at the first temptation. We will forgive ourselves. No need for God. Where is God now? He's right there with them. And they are they looking for God for help, for guidance, maybe for a clarification? Hey, we can't remember exactly what you said. We're human after all. Could you remind us? They are just doubting the word of God. Consequently, they are just going it alone. Next, Jesus is asked to worship the devil to gain all the kingdoms of earth. This sounds a bit off in logic. Jesus is God and the devil is not. But Jesus never disputes the devil on who the kingdoms of the earth belong to. Jesus is in the devil's playground. The devil is seemingly making Jesus' mission easier. Do it your own way. Don't follow the Father's will. Take control of the world and bring it all back to God. This almost makes sense to our human ears. Jesus is, after all, fully human. His ears hear the magic. Yet fully divine, his conscience tells him no. There was truth in the temptation, in the lie of the devil. But Jesus heard both the truth and the lie and turned him down. How many in history have sold their soul to the devil for power or money or fame? Jesus knows. He turns the devil away. Adam did not cast the devil aside. And we still do not fully understand all the consequences of Adam and Eve as they ate of the tree. But the true exercise here is not to compare and contrast Adam to Jesus, but to compare and contrast ourselves between Adam and Jesus. We, in our lives, have a choice to be like Jesus or like Adam. To be like Jesus, we must study the Word of God, put Him in our minds and our hearts. Fast. So we hunger for God. Give to others so we have less as to become more dependent on God. Seek forgiveness because we are a flawed people. Then we can forgive. Pray to invite Jesus fully into our lives and come after Christ daily in faith, hope, and charity. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.